The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 25, the Bible says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls." It's one verse. Let's read it again. "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Let's pray. Father God, it is good for us, Lord, to be in church here this morning. We are so thankful, Father, for our Savior. We're so thankful for this book. I humbly ask that the words that are said this morning, that you would, Lord, set me aside and that you'd use your word to draw us closer to you. And Father, some are sheep here this morning that have gone astray. There are some here that if they were to die today, they'd spend eternity in the lake of fire because they've never been born again. There's others, Lord, that are truly sheep, but they're following you afar off. And Lord, they're not as close to you as they used to be. I pray as the good shepherd, you draw them close to you, that we'd repent and turn from our wicked ways and turn to you. And Lord, that we might be close to you, that you might provide for us, that you might lead us, that you might guide us, that you might use us. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much. You may be seated. I love listening to children talk. I love the games that children play. If we can get them away from their iPads, their iPhones, and the television, kids do some of the craziest things, and they ask some of the craziest questions. Probably one of the ones that all of my kids would talk about growing up, and I've heard other kids talk about this, as they talk about animals and their love for animals, the question always arises, if you were an animal, what would you want to be? If you were an animal, I want you to think about that for a minute. If you were an animal, what would you want to be? And if you're a man, you're probably thinking lion or tiger or bear, oh my. You're thinking of some type of animal, of your girl, a horse or a pony. I'm not trying to be stereotypical, but I do know this, that if I were an animal, I'd want to be an eagle. And if I were an eagle, I'd be a bald eagle. Okay, I got it. Got it. But nobody probably here would say if they were going to be an animal that they'd want to be a sheep. It's probably not a pick of anybody. And yet the idea that we are called sheep not only illustrates to us who we are, but it illustrates who our God is and the relationship that we are to have with our God. The idea that you and I are nothing more than sheep tells us who we are, who our God is, and how we are to relate to that God. Here in 1 Peter chapter number 2, and Peter is talking to a group of people that are truly in need of a shepherd. Verse 25, "For ye are as sheep." For ye are as sheep. You know, sheep don't fare well without a shepherd. They don't fare well at all without a shepherd. I was reading a story early on this week about sheep, and sheep are very confined. The way we raise sheep now is different than what he's talking about. A shepherd would have to lead them to where they needed to go. There's wide open fields. There's no pens or paddocks. They wouldn't be in a pen until at night. They could roam free. And I was reading about how oftentimes a sheep, if he got astray from his shepherd, would not only sometimes starve to death, or they would die of dehydration, but many times because they're not being shorn, their wool grows to a huge size, and they begin to pick up the debris that's all around them, and they become heavy. Sometimes they become lopsidedly heavy. Sometimes when they fall over, they can be so big, so heavy, that they can't get up again. Could you imagine being this sheep that's laying down and cannot get back up again because you're in desperate need of a shepherd to come alongside of you and to pick you up and to clean you up and to shore you and to lead you. So listen, if you and I are left to ourselves, we will starve to death, we will be dehydrated, we will become dirty, we will become lopsided. And listen, not only that, but if we're left to our own devices, we're going to die. We need a shepherd. And we need not only a shepherd because of the things that we are, but we need a shepherd because there are predators out there. There are predators out there. Reading in Amos chapter 3, verse number 12, the Bible talks about a shepherd that comes to a lion and opens up the mouth of the lion, which tells me that the shepherd is greater than the lion. But by the time he gets there, he opens up the mouth of the lion and he pulls out an ear, he pulls out a leg, he pulls out all these parts of a sheep. And so you say, well, is it the shepherd's fault? Well, the shepherd is greater than the lion. Can I remind you that the Bible refers to the devil as a lion? Here in our text in 1 Peter chapter number 5, the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And of all animals that a lion can devour, you mark it down, a lion can devour a lamb. And the problem was not the shepherd. The problem was not the lion, because the lion's doing what a lion does. Somehow, there was a distance put between the shepherd and the sheep. And that distance allowed the devil, allowed the lion to come in and devour that lamb. What am I saying? You and I are compared to a sheep. We need a shepherd. How many times in the Bible does God talk about the sheep-shepherd relationship? How many times do we read about how God says, I look at my people and I see them without a shepherd. I look at my people, I see them without a leader. In Numbers chapter 27, the Lord and Moses are talking. Moses says, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as a sheep without having no shepherd. 1 Kings 22, 17, God says, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that had no shepherd. I see them scattered. They're left to themselves and they're going to die. They cannot live in and of themselves. They need a shepherd. I think of our Savior in Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So can we understand this morning that we are all sheep? If you know your sheep, would you say amen? Amen. Not bad. All right, we're sheep. And if we are going to survive and thrive, then we need a shepherd. Now he says here to the people that are listening, the people he's writing to, saying, we have a shepherd. I want to tell you this. It's pretty interesting. We have a fisherman talking about being a shepherd. All right? And this fisherman who's talking about being a shepherd, he makes it very clear that you and I as sheep, we need a shepherd, but you and I as sheep, listen carefully, have not only one shepherd, but do you realize this morning that you have two shepherds? Do you realize this morning that you need a bishop and you don't just have one bishop, but do you realize this morning that you have two bishops? So what are we talking about? Well, let's read that verse again. Verse number 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So you need a shepherd and a bishop. What's a bishop? A bishop simply means an overseer. One who has the oversight and charge of something with the power of direction. He says that we have a shepherd and that we have a bishop. And I'm telling you that you have two shepherds and you have two bishops. Let me show it to you. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look with me at verse number 2. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 2. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 verse 2, feed the who? The flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, that's a bishop, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. He is talking about pastors. And many times we call a pastor. He's only referred to as being a pastor in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter number 4. He gave some pastors, right, and some teachers and preachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4, I believe, verse number 11. Pastor is literally the term shepherd. But the Bible also says that the pastor is not just the pastor or the shepherd of the flock. The Bible refers to pastors as being bishops. In the pastoral epistles in Timothy, the Bible says that a bishop, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. So, listen, a pastor is a shepherd, and a pastor is a bishop. He is to lead and to feed his flock, and he is to have the oversight or direction of the ministry. It's interestingly here in verse number 2 of chapter 5, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. So the bishop of a pastor, the shepherd as a pastor is called, is to be ensamples to the flock. Now in your Bibles, you have two very similar words. And although the words are very similar, they are not synonyms. He uses the word in verse number 3, being in samples to the flock. It's pretty interesting, in samples. The word in sample is used 6 times in the Bible, and he doesn't use the word example. Now, does Peter know the word example? Yes, he knows the word example. We read it a few weeks ago. Just turn back there. Look at chapter number 2, verse number 21. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an what? Example. So Peter uses the word example, and he uses the word ensample. And they are not synonyms. They are different in the Greek, and they are different in the English language. It's interesting because in ensample, we have 2 prefixes. We have ex, which means out, right? So see that sign right there? That tells you where to go out, right? But you all go out that door. Anyway, out, prefix ex, out. Prefix en is in, enter, en, enter. An ensample is a sample that is inside of a group. Listen, every time that you read ensample, every time you read example, I want you to put it to this test of what I'm about to tell you. An ensample is a sampling, a type, a sample of what that group should be, but that sample is inside of that group. An example provides the same thing. It is a sample to that group, but it is outside of that group. See, Pastor, what are we talking about? I'm talking about an ensample inside of the group, an example outside of the group. Now, why is this so important to make this distinction? Well, as you read your Bible, you'll find out that you do have a pastor who is a pastor, a shepherd, a bishop. But that shepherd and pastor is part of your group. Okay? Not above the group, not outside the group, but it is part of that group, inside of that group. So we have a flock, and here we have a flock, and we have a bishop and a pastor who is part of this flock. I am just as much of a sinner as you are. Maybe not you, brother, but most of you, right? Ask your wife. All right, so that's a pretty tall order there. But we have an example that we follow his steps. The example is outside of our group, but he's a sampling of our group on the outside, and that is the shepherd, capital S. That is the bishop, capital B. That is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we follow the ensample as long as the ensample follows the example. Can I say that again? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul refers to himself as an ensample. He refers to the pastor as an ensample. We're in this group, and I'm the leader of this group, but as far as this group is concerned, we are following the example of none other than the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you also to know, back here in 1 Peter chapter number 2, I need to show you this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop, watch this, of your souls. Keep your finger there in 1 Peter. Go to Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 13. Let me finish up talking about the under-shepherd. Hebrews chapter number 13. Look with me at verse number 7. Hebrews 13, verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 7. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse number 7, remember them which have the rule over you, bishop. Ye have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So that ensample sets an example, and the Bible says, whose faith follow. Follow that example. Look at verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your what? Souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So the Bible says the shepherd, the bishop, talking about the under-shepherd, the pastor, has that oversight, needs to teach the word of God, feed the flock of God. But then he says the responsibility is to watch over your souls. To watch over your souls. Now, how many of you have a good mechanic? Would you raise your hand if you have a good mechanic? 5 people have a good mechanic. Okay, all right. How many of you have a good doctor? Any good? Oh, we have more good, listen, there's more, we're at the age of our lives where we need more doctors than mechanics. It's pretty bad, all right? How many of you have a good lawyer? Please define a good lawyer. What is a good lawyer? I don't know. Is that an oxymoron? Jumbo shrimp, good lawyer. I don't know. Now, if you have a good doctor and you know he's a good doctor, the doctor says, this is what you have and this is what you need to do. Go to the pharmacy, get this medicine, take it this time of day, do this, do that. And we go, okay, all right. Because we need to make sure that our bodies are okay. You have a good mechanic, an honest mechanic. He says, this is the problem. You say, okay, we'll fix it. How much is it going to cost? I don't care. I trust you. You're the mechanic. That's what I need. Then if I need blinker fluid, then that's what I need, blinker fluid. That might not be the best mechanic. But if he's a true mechanic, he says, okay, what do I need to do? Okay, that's what I'll do. Now, you might have a good doctor. You might have a good lawyer. You might have a good mechanic. You might have a good employer, whatever you might have. But listen to me carefully. You have one person, God-given person, to watch over your soul. I know this sounds very self-serving. I know it does. My purpose for being your pastor is not, I'm not here for the money. I'm not here to say how many people can we have. I care about you. And as a doctor would say, this is what you need to do, and we give him the respect, or we give him the enough credibility to say, okay, then that's what we are going to implement. And all the things that you have, your car, your house, even your health, the most important thing you have is your soul. And you have one to watch over your soul. I'm talking about the under-shepherd. So Jesus Christ is the bishop, Jesus Christ is the shepherd, and Jesus Christ is there for your soul. But there is an under-shepherd, and that under-shepherd is supposed to do the same thing. Only I'm an ensample, and he is the example. He is the Lord and Savior. He is perfect, and your pastor is not. So I'm not going to pause for an amen there. So, because there'd be a lot of them. But go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want to just show you this. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And I want to talk about the shepherd himself, not the under shepherd. But we cannot separate the two here in this text. So 1 Peter chapter 5, look with me at verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. So whose flock is it, under shepherd? Whose flock is it, under bishop? It's the Lord's flock. You see that apostrophe S? God's heritage. It's God's church. It's not the pastor's church. It's not the deacon's church. It's not the trustee. It's God's church. Now in the Bible, there were many people that were shepherds. Many famous people in the Bible that were shepherds. The Bible says that Jacob was a shepherd. Is that right? Jacob was a shepherd. And we read in the Bible about Jacob being a shepherd. And we find out that he is watching Laban's sheep. They weren't his own. We found in the Bible that Moses was a shepherd, but we find now he's on the backside of the desert watching his father-in-law's sheep. They weren't his sheep, they were Jethro's sheep. We read even David, the most famous shepherd of all, but every time we read about him being a shepherd, he's not shepherding his own sheep, he's watching his daddy's sheep. So there's a great responsibility to say, okay, this is my responsibility, but these are not mine. This is what I'm supposed to do, but I understand that I'm not doing it for me. And the job that I do, I'm required to go to the owner of that flock and give an account of why I lost one. Why this one's not here. What's not being done properly? What's being done right? So he says there is an under-shepherd. Now, I had to say all that because it's Bible. But I want to talk about the chief shepherd. I want to talk about Jesus Christ, who is our bishop. Jesus Christ, who is our shepherd. He is our example. Jesus Christ is our example. Go to John chapter number 10. And let me just talk for a few minutes about the good shepherd, if I could. John chapter number 10. You could probably quote most of these verses. John chapter 10. Look with me at John chapter 10, verse number 11. John chapter 10, verse number 11. John chapter 10, verse number 11. The Bible says, say amen if you're there. John 10, verse 11. I am the what? The good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. So remember, I told you that God's big concern about his people is that they're not scattered, that they don't just kind of wander away, that they don't just stray away. So he says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the one that wants to make sure that you stay where you're supposed to stay, and that you have what you need to have. So I am the good shepherd. And when Jesus says he's the good shepherd, he says, I know there's other shepherds that'll come in and they see a difficulty and they'll run. But I'm telling you that I'm a good shepherd because Jesus says, I'm not a hireling. I am willing to die for the sheep. I want you to think about that for a minute. There's a lot of good shepherds in the Bible. David, look up here. David was a good shepherd. If you believe that, say amen. Well, how do you know that? Well, when David talks about being a shepherd, he says, hey, King Saul, I want you to know that I was watching, they weren't my sheep. I was watching my daddy's sheep. And when a lion came to take some of those sheep, I said, no, you're not doing that. And so I tracked down that lion. I grabbed that lion by the beard. I said, bad lion, kill that lion, save that sheep. I'm a good shepherd. Really? Yeah. And you know what? A bear came. Bear came to get one of the lambs. I said, nope, bad bear. Grabbed that bear, killed that bear, took that lamb. Is that what he said? He said, I'm a good shepherd because I was willing to go up against something that was going to hurt my sheep. I was willing to go up against them and put my life at risk to save the sheep. That's a sign of a good shepherd. But Jesus said, wait a minute. I am not only putting my life at stake, I'm willing to give my life to the sheep. Why? Because sin's going to kill you. Sin is going to devour you. It is going to destroy you. Sin is going to doom you to the eternal lake of fire forever. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I'm willing to die for the life of my sheep. Can I ask you this question? Wouldn't you want to hang out with a shepherd like that? Wouldn't you want that to be your shepherd? Wouldn't you want to stay close to that shepherd? He says, not only am I the good shepherd, go to Hebrews if you would. Keep your finger there in John. Keep your finger in John. We'll be back there in a second. Go to Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter 13, look with me at verse number 20. Hebrews 13 and verse number 20. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20. Now, we talked about the under-shepherd, Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that who? Great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's the good shepherd, and he gave his life for the sheep. But I'm here to tell you, he is the great shepherd because he rose again the third day. Listen to me very carefully. Do you realize that Jesus died for you? Do you realize greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends? But in John chapter 10, he says, I'm going to lay it down, but I'm going to take it up again. A good shepherd can give his life, but it'll take a great shepherd to take that life again. I'm here to tell you that he is the great shepherd because he not only died for you, but that he rose again the third day. Amen. Wouldn't you want to hang out with a shepherd like that? Wouldn't you follow everywhere he went and follow his voice and listen to everything that he had to say? Look at 1 Peter chapter number 5. Keep your finger there in John. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look with me at verse number 4. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 4. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 4. Now, we just read about the under-shepherd, feed the flock. Now, look at the chief shepherd, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So the good shepherd died for the sheep, the great shepherd rose again for the sheep, and the chief shepherd is coming back for the sheep. One day, Jesus Christ is going to return. Until that time, until we see our example, you have an end sample. But until that time, we want to make sure that we stay close to the shepherd. Say, well, he's not here. But can you hear his voice? You know what's funny to me is that you can be so close to somebody that there could be a room of 500 people. And you hear somebody that you know. And you can pick it out in that crowd of 500 people. Do you know what I'm talking about? My dad's got this really distinct, I can't even do it. He has this real distinct cough. I could be in a crowd of 10,000 people. I hear that cough, dad's here. My wife, I don't know what it is. You could have 100 screaming babies. But if it's one of our babies in there and missing that 100 screaming babies, she knows exactly which baby it is. Oh, there they are. That's ours. I'm like, is that ours? Nope. Okay, then I'm not worried about it. I can't tell. I'm a man. I just black out screaming. Amen? Especially when they're young in the middle of the night. Honey, do you hear the baby crying? What? No, I don't hear it. I don't know what you're talking about. But to be able to pick it out, and listen to me very carefully, although we cannot see our Savior to follow him, we can still hear his voice. John chapter 10. You're doing well. We're almost done. John chapter 10, look at verse number 2. John chapter 10 and verse number 2. The Bible says in John 10, verse number 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his what? Voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep what? Follow him, for they know his voice. So the job of the sheep is to simply do this. You are the good shepherd, you are the great shepherd, you are the chief shepherd, and until you come back as the chief shepherd, all I have to do is listen to your voice, and all I have to do is follow. Follow. And Psalm 23, we don't have time to go there, but everybody here is familiar with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down and still pass. Right? He leadeth me. Everything that Psalm 23 promises pivots and built upon whether or not he leads you. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What are you doing there? He leadeth me. Thou art with me. Why? You led me here, you're with me. So you might be going through difficult times like we heard about in Sunday school. But if you're following the shepherd, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's there for you. He's with you. He will supply all of your needs. He will protect you. He will provide for you. But the question is he leading you? The question is, are you following his voice? I know as a parent, one of the biggest... You ever go to like a big state fair or amusement park and you have some parents who have their children that are with them and their children are on a dog leash? How many ever saw that before? I'm not going to ask if you ever did that before, but you've seen it. Come here, Jimmy. Come here, boy. I just was kidding. And you watch the kid and the kids, I mean, you're watching them and they're walking around. Now, wait, let's pause here for a minute. Every one of us that's a parent, you see them go, oh, they got a leash on the kid. But every one of us has had that moment. That moment where you turned around for 1 second and they're nowhere to be found. Now, I've been on both sides of that. One time I was in the Mall of America, and this little girl, she was running, running around, and her mother said, come here, come here, come here. Wouldn't listen. Come here, come here, come here, come here. So the mother just stopped, and the kid just kept going. Well, she said, come here. Well, the kid stopped for a second. The little girl stopped for a second, and she looked around, and she went up to grab her mother's hand, but she grabbed my hand instead. And she went. That's pretty scary, isn't it? That'd be scary if it happened to you. It'd be scary. What? You're not my mother. No, I'm not your mother. She's back there. She's been calling you, but you weren't listening to her voice. I've been on the side as a parent. Here's my kid. We're doing something or whatever. And all of a sudden, hey, you need, where? And you know that feeling, right? What? All the things through your mind that could happen. And you think of being kidnapped. You think of falling somewhere or getting hurt. All these things as a parent go through your mind. And you're thinking, all you did was this. When you walked through the gate of that venue, you said, listen, stay close to me. Don't run off. Just stay close. There's a lot of people here. If you have to hold my hand, but stay close, stay close. You gave them one thing to do. And for a moment, you realize as a parent, they are in serious danger Why? Because they went astray. Why? Because they're not following. We as sheep are the same way. He says, I want you to hear my voice. And when you hear my voice, I want you to follow me. It is not enough to hear what the Word of God says. It's not enough just to hear, to know what he says and to hear the doctrine. He says, you need to follow. If you don't follow me, you'll not be safe. He says in this very text, John chapter 10, look at John 10, verse number 10. The thief, who's that? That's the devil. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. So with me, if you stay with me, you'll have life and you'll have purpose and you'll have safety. You'll have a meaning to live. You'll be protected under my care as your shepherd. But there is a thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And the only thing that's going to stop him is me, the good shepherd. Is me, the good shepherd. Are you following the sheep? Are you following the shepherd? Are you the kind of sheep that says, you know what? I know that I have a tendency to stray. Look up here. All of us have a tendency to stray. Prone to wander, God, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have turned aside. All we like sheep have gone astray. To go astray is out of the right way or the proper place. Psalm 119, David says in verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. God, I've gone astray. Now go back to our main text and we'll be done. In 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 5. The Bible says, for we were as sheep going astray. That's what we were. We were as sheep going astray. You know, when we're astray, that's when we're in danger, right? Do you remember Peter, who the Holy Spirit inspired to write these verses? He was with his shepherd, wasn't he? He was with the shepherd in the boat. He's with the shepherd in the water. He's with the shepherd when they fed the 5,000 people besides women and children. Right? He was with the shepherd in the garden. But towards the end of the Lord's ministry, the Bible says that Peter followed him, listen carefully, afar off. In Luke chapter number 22, how far off do we have to be before we are considered to being astray? You say, well, they're farther away than I am. I remember for our honeymoon, my wife and I went to Mexico for our honeymoon and got good deal there. And that was before Cancun blew up and became what it is. But we got a good deal there and we went there. Well, we were going to go snorkeling. And so we decided to go snorkeling. And you take these boats out there and we get out in the water. You can't see land. And we're putting our stuff on. And it was at that time when my wife says, I'm not a very good swimmer. Okay, that did not come up in premarital counseling. We've been married for 4 days now, and I found out that you're not a good swimmer, and if I knew that, I would not have paid so much money for this excursion. So, that's a problem. Then the guy who led us out there says, now, I do want you to know this is the second largest coral reef in the world. That's cool. And there are many sharks. They did not put that in the brochure. Or I would not have been there. So I'm looking at my wife who cannot swim. And I'm looking at me in the water and I don't want to swim. But I paid for it. So I'm going in the water. And so is she. So we go in the water. Now she's a little scared. She says, no, I'm not the strongest swimmer. I said, all right, just stay with me. She says, where are you going? I said, listen. I said, we're going to look at the beautiful reef. Listen very carefully. On the other side of that reef is this giant deepness of the sea. That's where the sharks come from. So always make sure there's somebody between you and the reef. You remember this conversation? You remember this? This is the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Make sure there's somebody between you and that reef. Just call them chum. I didn't say that, but that's funny. Hey, chum. So just to make sure, as somehow I thought in my mind, they got to come from that way. And as long as they're further out than I am, I'll be safe. Not to mention the fact I'm a better swimmer than my wife, so we're good. That's terrible. We think this. I'm safe because I'm not as far off from my shepherd as others are. There's other people there. They're only ever in church every other Sunday. I'm there every Sunday. They don't give as much. They're farther off. They don't read their Bible as much as they're farther off than I am. That doesn't make us any more safe. The question is, how close could we be? How close should we be? And the truth of the matter is, as sheep, we're not as close as we should be. We're not as close as we could be. And we're not as close as we pretend to be. Right? Hey, you watch my wife walk outside our back door. You remember Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom? Remember that show? Remember that? I love that show. If you're young, you don't remember. Anyway, when she walks out the back door, not me, when she opens up that door and she takes one step out there, here they come, the menagerie of cats, peacocks, chickens, stray dogs. She walks out and they all come running. And as she walks to the barn, they're all like, you never seen a mixture of cats and chickens, and they're all at her knees and everything. Now, when I step out and I open up the door, they hear the door open, they come running. When I step out, they're like, oh, it's that guy. And it's amazing as she walks, they just want to get as close to her as possible because they know she's the one that's going to feed them. When they see me, they know I'm the one that doesn't want to feed them, ever. If he's a good shepherd, shouldn't we want to gather as close to him as possible? Why are we content with being over here, half-hearted and apathetic? Why are we content with as little Bible reading as we do? Why are we content with our prayer life? Why are we content with our service at church? Why don't we want to be as close as we possibly can be? Because he's the good shepherd. We should be as close as we want. Last verse, go to Malachi. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, look at verse number 7. The Lord's telling them, you don't love me, you won't honor me, you won't serve me. Look at this, Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7. The Bible says, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me. God says, return to me. Come back to me, and I will return unto you. What a promise. James says pretty much the same thing, doesn't he? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. But listen to me carefully. We will not draw nigh to God, and we will not return to God unless we are willing to admit that we need to turn to God. That if we're willing to admit that we are kind of following afar off, that we have gone astray. Because watch what they say. Listen carefully, ladies. Listen carefully. Watch what he says in verse number 7 again. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances. Ye have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, say the Lord of hosts. But ye said, watch, wherein shall we return? What do you mean we need to return? We're your people. We're closer to you than the Amalekites are. We're closer to you than those of Nineveh are. We're closer to you than those in Tyre are. What do you mean we need to return? We still have sacrifices, although they're polluted. We still give, although it's not a tithe. We still have the table of showbread. We still have our daily prayers. We don't need to return. Then you won't return. I guess we have to take stock of our life and see, is he our shepherd? Is he a good shepherd? Is he a great shepherd? Is he the returning chief shepherd? Then how close are we? How close are you to the Lord? Here's the invitation. Number one, in Isaiah 55, verse number 7, the Bible says that the Lord wants us to turn to him, to return to him and confess our ways, and he will abundantly pardon us and forgive us. You might be here and you're not even saved. He's not your shepherd. It breaks my heart in a funeral service where somebody's lost and the preacher reads Psalm 23 and says that this the Lord was this man's shepherd, and he was never this man's shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Is he your Savior? He died for you. He rose again the third day. As the good shepherd and as the great shepherd, you need to be saved. Listen. Is he your Savior? And number two, if he is your Savior, why aren't you closer to him than you are? Isn't that the question? So here's the invitation. The altar's open. Let's return to our shepherd. Well, then somebody might think that I have gone. Who cares? This is between you and God. Between you and the one that loves you and died for you and rose again the third day. Is the Lord your shepherd? Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that you take these words, your words, and Father, that you would inscribe them upon our hearts. And Lord, that we would realize where we are. And Father, I believe that a tree can be dead for a long time on the inside before it ever appears on the outside. Lord, we could be far off, we could be astray, yet still going through the motions and never really following your voice. Would you convict us this morning? Would you help us, Lord, to return? Lord, some are close this morning and desire to be closer. Some are far off and desire to come back. But I pray that the Spirit would have free reign in our hearts and lives. I do pray if someone today does not know Christ as their Savior, that they'd realize that you do love them. Christ died for them, that they might have everlasting life. And that today they confess their sins and turn and put their faith and hope and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that they might be born again today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask you this. Would some here this morning say, you know what, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. That if I were to die today, and the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. If I were to die today, Pastor, I am not sure that I'd go to heaven. If you're not sure of that, would you be honest enough to slip up your hand and I might pray for you? Thank you for your honesty. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'll pray for you in a moment. Anybody else, Pastor? I'm not sure of my salvation. Please pray for me. Anybody else? Please listen to me very carefully. In a moment, I'm going to ask the piano to play, and if you're not sure of where you're going when you die, whether you raised your hand or didn't, would you meet me at this altar? Would you come to this pulpit right here? We'll have a man show a man, a woman show a woman, how you can make sure that you can have eternal life. We'll not embarrass you. We'll not call you out. But listen to me very carefully. This is so crucial and important. When you die, you will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And what you do with Christ will make all the difference. You need to make sure you're on your way to heaven. And we can show you from God's word how you can make sure that you're born again. Would you allow us to do that? I'll pray for you in a moment. Christian, let me ask you this, honestly. How many of you have been drifting? You realize this morning that you've strayed and you've drifted and you're not as close to your Savior as you want to be. Would you slip up your hand honestly? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Father God, I pray that you'd bless this invitation. I pray that it would not just be another service, but Lord, that you'd be with those that aren't sure of their salvation. Lord, that they can meet me right here at this pulpit. And Lord, we'll have a man show a man and a woman show a woman. Help the workers to be prepared even now to grab their Bibles to talk to these folks that need to be saved. Father, I do pray for us that know Christ. Father, it's so easy for us to miss a day of our Bible reading and that day to turn into a week, to a month. It's so easy for us to not show up to church when it's not convenient, when other things come around, and then all of a sudden our church attendance has slacked off. So easy for us to avoid one person, not give them the gospel, and then never pass a gospel tract out and tell people about our Savior for a year. It's so easy for us to stray. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that if we return to you, that if we draw nigh to you, then you will return to us and draw nigh to us. Lord, you don't have to do that. But we're thankful that you are willing to. And we'd be foolish not to take you up on that tremendous offer. So I pray that you deal with us as your people.